This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. And today we're going to be talking about recreation, leisure activities. Is this a biblical concept or not? I don't know if you've read it in your Bible, but maybe when I was growing up in church, I think it was in their Bible. It said, "Thou shalt not have fun, nor shalt thou smile in all the days of your lives."
I've got that version.
No?
I remember hearing a thing or two about that back in the day.
Yeah, and I think that's actually antithetical to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I think the very nature of God is that we would enjoy Him and enjoy His creation. All of creation proclaims His name and sings out His praises, and it was all created for us to have dominion over, for us to enjoy, for us to recreate in it, to create in it, to live in it. And I think when we miss the point of recreating or the leisure part of it, I think we miss the goodness of God.
Well, you even look at the definition of recreation in the dictionary, right? It is to restore to health, to create anew, restore, refresh. And God took a rest on the seventh day after He got done with His work. He recreated. He took a nap. I don't know what He did, but He didn't do any work.
Mm-hmm.
He needed some rest time. And I think we all get caught up in the busyness of life and the hustle and bustle of it all, and you get worn out. And we've talked about this here at Evangel before. Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is take a nap. Sometimes you just need a break.
Mm-hmm.
We just came back, Travis and I and our families just came back from a little vacation. We went down to Cancun, Mexico, hung out in the sun. It was rough.
You did some recreating down there,
did
you?
We did do some recreating down there, yeah. My kids got sunburned. I think your kids might have got a little bit of it, too.
Yeah, there was some of that going on.
Us white northerners don't do well that close to the equator. But it was good to stop for a moment. And I actually shut down my phone and shut off my computer. I didn't return emails. I did get some texts on Sunday because our loader broke down. And we had about 8 inches of snow in the parking lot. And I wasn't really sure why they were texting me because I was in Mexico. But they were texting trying to figure out what to do in all of this. But there's such, I think, an emphasis in the scriptures on things that sometimes churches will emphasize, food or wine or money. They're really amoral. There's no morality in and of them.
Yeah.
It's really how you use those things.
Mm-hmm.
They're morally neutral, and yet they have benefits to us. I think, is it Peter or Paul, one of the two, said, you know, a little wine for the belly is good. But it's always in the balance of things. If all you did was leisurely sit around and hang out, I actually think you would not be living the purpose of your life. And I think you would be living a life less than, rather than a life that God has called you into. One of the things that leisure and a concept of leisure is an external freedom. It's a part of our leisure. It's in a lot of leisure activities, the only person doing the activity understands the reward in the activity. Like, I've never... Well, golf, running a marathon. They're like, oh my
goodness.
That's
a leisure activity?
I hit a runner's eye. It was so wonderful.
That one gets me. I had a friend who loved, he had to run every day. If he didn't get his run in the afternoon, he was a hard person to be around. And he would tell me he got the runner's high. I tried many times.
Do you get it before
something.
Or after you throw up? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, maybe I wasn't doing it right, but no, I don't, yeah.
I think the activities that are pleasant, they bring happiness, they provide a sense of freedom, playfulness. There's some type of perceived risk often in our leisure. We were in the Yucatan Peninsula, and there was, what was that thing called?
The Chichenista was the little town we went to, the Mayan.
No, where was the hole in the ground?
It was somewhere around there.
Yeah, but it was there's some like Spanish
natural
name.
Well thing.
Yeah, it's a Spanish name for it when there's a place of like beauty or what. And it was just a hole.
A cenote. Yeah.
And it was a hole in the ground, basically a sinkhole with water in it.
It was awesome.
I was a little nervous. But, you know, America is different than Mexico and their
siesta.
Well, in the sense of their guidelines for safety.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, that's where true. You're going there. Yep.
I kind of look at America as a helicopter mom and Mexico kind of like a kind of lets the kids.
Free range parent.
Free range parent. There we go. Yeah. there we go. Like we were at the cenote and there's a rope. A guy has it between his toes. It's tied to like this like rickety old log. It doesn't have like a handle like plastic or metal or anything like that. It's a stick they got out in the jungle and they tied on this thing.
Yeah, what's the problem?
And you're swinging out and I'm like, there's no way I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Others
yeah.
were having a great time doing it. But there's sometimes a perceived risk in what we do. And I think that goes all the way back to the garden. You have Adam. He's there. He's by himself. And there are times where it's work, but I think there's some leisure in it. He's like taking a stroll, figuring out the animals, the plants, what God had created. And there's this adventure that happens within it. It's a break from the norm. It's a break from what he was doing in his day-to-day kind of, he wasn't just sitting there eating grapes, which he could have off of the delicious trees that were there. He went out and he did something. There was a leisure to it, I think, but there was also a pulling himself toward God. And I think that's really a scriptural principle in all of this, is it doesn't matter what we do, what we eat, all of those things, as long as it's drawing us toward God and not away from God.
Yeah, you know, we see places in Colossians is one that I think about right away, where it says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's about who is getting the glory when you're doing those things. I've heard things before, like if we want to get on the topic of worship, what is worship? Well, oftentimes we think about worship is when we sing songs. If you're familiar with the church, we call that worship. We have a worship team. But really, whatever we do for the glory of God can be worship to him if we're doing it for his glory.
Well, and that comes into play with the unique way that God created each individual person. Like, I'm not a knitter, and I don't find, like, joy in knitting and sitting down making a sweater or whatever. But some people that are creative like that very much enjoy that. Mm-hmm. You know, Jill around here takes quilting retreats, and she has a blast at those things. You'd never catch me at one of those. But she comes back with some awesome stuff that the creativity that God gave her, she uses that ability to do some cool stuff. I think we get different abilities. You know, you talked about the adventure part of it. If you're a big mountain climber or something, you're not going to go and explore a Titanic Museum exhibit and feel like thrilled and fulfilled in that.
Maybe you would.
But you're going to go
Titanic
do something.
The Titanic is on the bottom of the ocean.
It's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but you're going to go do something.
It's one
something.
Of the most unexplored places in the world.
You're going to find the stuff that God put in you that excites you. You're going to find if you like that risk and that adrenaline rush, you're going to go climb the mountain.
I think of like the arts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a painting. There's no real purpose to a painting.
Right.
There's no real purpose to music and dance. And yet the scriptures talk about both of them.
Yeah.
They're for our pleasure. They're for our leisure. They're for our recreation. And it's beautiful that God has given us that. Even when he talks about the Sabbath, we know that the creation, we're not going to talk about whether this is literal or figurative, but the creation in 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. And then in Exodus, it talks about keeping the Sabbath holy, free from work, is basically what, set apart, separated. But Jesus says the Sabbath was created for man. And so this was built into our DNA. It's built into who we are as humans. And if we don't take those breaks, if we don't take those leisure moments, if we don't take those times to recreate, I think we're living out a life that's less than what we were designed to live.
Well, and going back to that original kind of model we have in creation that God rested and later on makes it a command that his people should have a day of rest, it was also a way for God's people to put into practice their trust in God, that they could take a break and things would be okay. There might be a lot of people listening right now who think their work or the things that they do are so important that everything revolves around them that they can't take a break. I've known people like that. And I think it's important to recognize that in rest, we're saying, God, I trust you. I trust that you are in control and I don't have to be driving 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that God's ultimately in control.
If I'm honest, I had a conversation with my wife. I have a sabbatical coming up, as you guys know. And I was like, I'm a little nervous about this. Like, what's going to happen? You know, not that I don't trust you guys, but like, I'm not here. And that part of the building, the control, those things, releasing those things, and just having some time just to talk and pray about that this morning, for me, it was important. Mm-hmm. And to go, God, I'm going to trust in this. And I'm going to walk into this. I'm going to figure out this is something that is actually important for longevity.
Yep.
It's good for me, but it's also good for the church.
That's a good point, because you look at just the way America operates, and I think a lot of Americans worship our work. We put our identity in what we do for vocation. But you look at the side of recreation, like, yes, that should not displace our families. It should not displace our work. It shouldn't displace our worship, for sure. But we see those unique attributes of who God is in our recreation. He's given us those interests, those desires, those abilities to do that stuff. And I you can find God in those things as we pursue times of rest, as we pursue times of recreation and adventure. And it's, I think God gives us that stuff for our health, both physical, mental, and spiritual, and our overall well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's in the Bible, so
we'll,
I'm going
to
say
out
it
if we need to.
Yeah. In the Song of Solomon, there's this whole book, and he mentions the activity of sex as being a leisure activity, as being a recreational activity. Now, it's in the confines of the biblical principle of that, and that would be within a traditional marital context. But it's in there, which is kind of crazy.
This is another one of these things that illustrates what you were saying earlier, Pastor Levi, about how some of the good things, like the arts, for example, like you brought up, they don't have a purpose. The pleasure that comes from physical intimacy with your spouse, again, in the context of how it was designed, you know, I don't think it had to be an enjoyable thing. That's not a part of making it work. You know, if you get down to, okay, we need to populate the earth and all that. It feels like a bonus. This is a gift.
A bonus. I like that. Well, even salvation in and of itself, we think about the cross, and part of the cross, what it does is that God covers our sins with the blood of Christ. His payment for our sins was done away with the cross, but that's not the only thing that it was doing. That's only a part of the Christian understanding of salvation and understanding of what God was doing on that. It was a bringing us toward Him. It was a connection to Him. It was bringing us in harmony with Him. And all of our lives are really connected to that principle of this harmony with God. In Hebrew, the word shalom, peace, flourishing. And we all desire this and all want this, but away from God, I'm not sure you get this. And so part of, like, when we think of recreation, we think of going to Cancun or we think of that, but part of recreation is just sweet times with God. Like, Jesus went away just so he could be with his Father, just so he could have time with him. And I think that was a leisure activity that he did in order to restore his soul.
And he did that for the disciples too, in Mark, I think it is, where they've been having the crowds fall around and Jesus is teaching the disciples and everybody's worn out. And Jesus told them to come away by themselves to this desolate place and rest for a while. You know, they had been coming and going and they had not even the leisure to eat. And I love the leisure to eat. That's one of my favorite things to do when I take a trip or something, is go find those little hole-in-the-wall places. And that just speaks.
How'd that work out for you in Mexico?
I came back fine. Okay. Not everybody in my family did, especially when it came to the seafood side of things. Oh. So I was safe there. But I think that's the beauty of it. And Paul talks about that too in 1 Corinthians. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. You go back to that thing that you said, the Bible, God says, thou shalt not have fun. And I think we get stuck in that, especially if we've grown up in the church. It was a list for a lot of us growing up of stop, no's, don'ts. And God really doesn't limit us like that. He wants us to have that life to the full, the abundant life in Christ. And you can glorify God through your leisure, through your rest, through your recreation.
I think that's the question, though. How are you? And what does that look like in all of that? How is that bringing you in line with God? How is that bringing your life into that abundant life?
Well, like an example for me personally was that trip to Mexico. That's my first time really out of the country, and just seeing something different firsthand of the beauty of God's creativeness. Like, I've seen the United States, and don't get me wrong, Lake Superior is beautiful. And if you put your hands up by the side of your eyes in some places, it looks like you're on the ocean. But to see that turquoise water and the mm-hmm. white sand beaches and the 84 degrees and the breeze blowing so you didn't get out. It was terrible. It was terrible, but you know that God loves us and wants us to be happy.
Well, even in the Old Testament, you have these great celebrations, these times of leisure. Mm-hmm. They were focused on bringing people toward remembering who God is. Mm-hmm. You have, what is the Feast of the Tabernacles?
Yeah.
I love that one. Jews thought about the Exodus, and they erected tents to get away from the hubbub of life, everyday life, and to think about how God had been there for them in the past. But basically, it was a camping trip.
Yeah, I've always imagined, like, for the kids.
Yeah.
The young Israelites, like, this is going to be so fun. We're going camping.
Yeah. And so you see this over and over, and even, like, their culture, and even throughout the scripture, it says practice hospitality. Well, what is hospitality? Some of it is recreating with other people. Mm-hmm. It's providing food, drink, maybe a card game or something like that, that you're connecting with something that is very holy, something that is created in the image of God, another human being. And I think that's an important part of recreation too. Some people are introverts. I'm not a big solo guy. I've done the solo trips. I get crazy out there. Like, you know, I start eating bark off trees and stuff. I'm like, what's going on here? So that's not where I find the most leisure and recre. It's more of a discipline, a spiritual discipline to go, man, I'm just going to go away with you, Lord. And whatever you have to say, I'm going to try to listen and hear. And that's a discipline for me. It doesn't fill me in the same way of just rest and relaxation. It fills me in the sense of when God speaks, man, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But it's not the same as being in a recreational type of time.
I was a part of a group of pastors within our denominational group back in Illinois. And we had a guy leading that who had a budget to do retreats with this group of pastors. And what he used to do, at least one of the retreats in the year, he would just schedule one of those retreats to be a time where we each got our own room, like in a cabin. And he said, you could do whatever you need to do. If you need to take a nap, sleep all day. If you need to just sit and read scripture. If you need to listen to music and whatever you need to do right now. And I'll tell you, I still have young kids, continues on. But at the time, I had two girls and they were little. I needed sleep. And it was the greatest gift to just go. I couldn't talk about it with my wife that day, which was awkward. But I just went and I took a nap, like 4 hours. Got up and had lunch with the other pastors and then just sat around. You know, it was just so needed.
I think that's just what you were saying, Levi, of where your focus is in those things. Like for me, my focus on seeing that new place and just the creativity, the fingerprints of God throughout creation, or spending time with other people and you're seeing and focusing on, like, this is somebody created in the image of God and how unique and awesome mm-hmm. that is. When we can do that, you connect with God at a deeper level, but you've got to have that mindset going into it. Just like you went into the 4 hour nap.
Yeah.
I'm connecting with Jesus.
Like you said earlier, this is a holy nap happening right now, you know?
Yeah. I think we're in the hubbub of February, which is the dreary days of snow coming down. I think there's probably snow coming tomorrow. You know, it's
probably that's pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah. I'm a prophet.
You should be a weatherman.
Yeah. We have that, and yet part of the rhythm for my wife and I is to have times where we get away in the winter. That's not always been possible financially or whatever, but we do something. It may be going to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is not that different.
It's the Mecca of the Midwest, my friend.
The Mecca of the—but they have a Costco, man, and I love the Costco. That's leisure to me to walk through Costco and have some samples and enjoy that time and connect. And just slow down for a moment. Yeah. And so I want to encourage you, God is for you. He loves you. He is good, good, good. And he wants for you to have this shalom. He wants you to flourish. And part of that is that you have leisure time. And so if you haven't planned a trip, you are thinking about a trip, think about that in the sense of this is a gift from God. And all good things are a gift from him.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. If you guys liked what we talked about or want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes here at Evangel, you can catch us on your device. Just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast, or you can always look for us at our website, evangelup.org. And if you got any questions or suggestions about future topics, we'd love to hear from you. Email me at travis@evangelup.org. Thanks, and we'll catch you next time.